The views expressed on this show are not necessarily those of Harrisstowe State University or Black Radio Hall of Fame.
Africans at home and throughout the diaspora, unity is strength. We got power.
Stop the fussing and the fighting. Now the time to do the right thing.
We do for UNITY. Come.
Stop the fussing and the fighting. Now the time to do the right thing.
In the spirit of Umoja, embrace with love.
Let's do it right now. We've got to do it right. Stop the fussing and the
fighting.
Right
now, right now.
Now the time to do the right thing. Let's do it right now. We've got.
Yes, we're going to do it right, and we are going to do it with compassion and honesty and transparency, all of that that we have asked of other people, we need to ask it of ourselves. This is Jamala Rogers, the host of Voices from the Battlefield, and we are here live at Harrisstowe State University, and we have a studio full of wonderful guests, and we'll get to them in a minute. But I do want to say, I want to give you a few little tidbits so that you understand where we are and the political climate that we're in. So just found out that the whole crew at 104 has been fired yesterday. So need to find out what's going on with that. But that's consistent with what's been going on across the country, where people, like, without notice, you know, are told to get the packing. So we don't know what's going to happen to that crew over there, and we don't even know what's going to happen to the radio station, but, you know, stay tuned. One of the other things I wanted to just share with you is the Trump administration, as you know, has been purging certain books. And for the U.S. Naval Academy, guess what they purged and guess what they kept? So they kept Mein Kampf, which, for those of you who may not know, that is the manifesto of Adolf Hitler, who was a Nazi, and they decided to ban Why the Caged Bird Sings by Maya Angelou. So that lets you know where we're going in the USA. And so those two things are troubling. But one thing that happened yesterday that just made me stop in my tracks is the Organization for Black Struggle got a money order for $10 from a person inside of Missouri's cages. Now, the reason I say that makes me stop in my tracks is because if anybody knows what it takes for you to pull $10 out of your account to send anywhere, that was so humbling. But what it said to me is, keep doing what y'all doing. And see, that's the kind of stuff that when people ask me, what keeps you going, those are the kind of things that keep me going, because I know what that brother is going through, that particular brother. I know what he's going through, and he's been through a lot. But somehow he found $10 in his account to send to us to keep doing the important work that we're doing. So when all this other madness is going on and something like that just cuts through it, it makes me get emotional, but it also inspires me to say we got to keep going. We got to keep going. So this particular episode is about making St. Louis white again. And that was the title of one of the columns that I did that apparently resonated with a number of people. There were 25 hits on the St. Louis American website. So people are thinking about that and talking about it. And some people have connected the dots. And, you know, I always encourage you all to do that. Mainly that means follow the money. But we're going to have some discussions about the election. And we don't want to get into all the negativity about the elections, but we do want to talk about the impact and where do we go from here. And so we have in the studio, we have Terry Coates, who is a longtime advocate and activist in the LGBTQ plus movement. And Terry is also, in full transparency, a board member for the Organization for Black Struggle. So welcome, Terry.
Thank you, Jamala. I'm happy to be here.
And we have Coffee Wright, and you know that Coffee is a activist and she is a citizen reporter. She's out there letting us know what's going on. She actually ran for office, but mainly she is just there in the community advocating for us. She is a member of the Universal African People's Organization. Welcome, Coffee.
Thank you so much for having me.
And last but certainly not least, if Tefpo joins us, we'll add him as seamlessly as we can. But we have Tavon Brooks, who you have heard at Black Radio Hall of Fame for a minute. But he is a recent candidate for the St. Louis School Board, and he's going to talk about that. So our first question is, was race a part of these elections? And that's both the city elections with the elected officials, mainly Tashar Jones and Darlene Green, but also for the school board. So anybody can go first.
Well, I guess we don't all have to speak at one time. All right. I guess I'll go first. In my opinion, I think race was absolutely a part of this election. It was a downfall citywide. And what I mean by that is, first of all, we know we lost population in the city. But from my understanding, we have less voters in North St. Louis. And with this race, why I say race was a factor, actually, when we look at the mayor election, everything that I saw, Tashara actually won the black votes. She got the majority of the black votes on the north side. All three wards that went against Tashara, she whooped their butt. But where she fell short was on the south side, which is majority white, and there are a lot of blacks there as well. So absolutely, race was a factor, along with a few other things.
What do you think, Terry?
Just to piggyback on that, I want to say something about racial solidarity. And the mere fact that Tashara Jones's opponent used a lot of black people in her commercials kind of led to the fact that she's going to draw in more of the black vote. And I think that's what she did. So yeah, race played a big part in it, and it was a strategic move on Kara Spencer's part to get those people.
What do you think, Tavon? And particularly in the race that you won, did you see race playing a pivotal role there?
So first, thank you for allowing me to be here. It's an honor. I would say race was an ingredient, but I think there were other factors. And I think race, along with not understanding the cultural background of who we are, was also missing. And I say that because an issue happened with me, and I feel like if everyone in the community, African American community, would have heard it, it would have been a plus for me. But because Caucasians or white people don't understand that when we call someone our child, it's not our child, it doesn't mean that we're trying to, it's just a cultural background for us, you know. So, for example, my significant other has a son, and somebody asked me, did I have a son that was in public school? Now, my biological son is in Live for Life, which is a charter school. So her school, her son's school is in public school. So when I told them, yeah, I have a son, because I've dated her for like 8 months now, and I just see her son as my son, I said, yeah, I have a son that's in public school, not knowing that they're looking at it as I'm trying to earn points, but I'm looking at it as a cultural importance to me that this young son can hear that I'm calling him his father, who never really had a father in his life. They didn't understand that, but they ran with it as if I'm trying to mislead the people. So again, I think it was a misunderstanding and communication of our culture, and also race was an ingredient in it as well.
So I think for that particular example that you gave, sometimes folks know what you meant and tend to still use it to divide and conquer. So I don't always say that people are ignorant, although we saw lots of ignorance in these races going forward. But sometimes people know, but they say, here's an opportunity to use this to further our goals. And, you know, I'm looking at Terry because we shared this graphic yesterday, by somebody who posted it on, I know Clarence Royston III posted it, but it was somebody named Paul Berler, I think is the name, but he did a graphic of the city to show where the votes were. And clearly, when you look at blue and red, you see that race was an issue. And North Side, South Side was an issue. And so one of the things that I think people saw was the Spencer campaign really exploiting the divisions that were already there. And some of them have been mended over time. And so to see this really slice at those divisions and in some cases putting salt in the wounds was really kind of new to some people. Although I would always say that some of these people are operating in a stealth way below the radar, and they're waiting for the opportunity to pounce when they get the opportunity, when the climate is right. Then they say, yeah, now I want to be the racist that I always was. I know I've been contained so I can be politically correct. But that graphic, because I'm a visual learner, it was so powerful for me that the red represents Jones Bones, sure, right, and the blue. And so you can see how populated that was.
Yeah.
If I can add, what I didn't appreciate with Ms. Kara Spencer did is she showed up and went to a nightclub on the North Side, and I don't think she ever did that in her life. But for her to do that before the election, now that to me is just all the ingredients to one. Race, strategic, manipulation. I don't think you should do that. Like, I don't think any politician or person running for any elected official the day before do something they never did in their life. Like, that's not genius.
But part of that, Tavon, was that she was called out constantly about that. When was the last time you've been on the North Side? And so she said, okay, well, where can I go? And that particular lounge was a good place. And so you're right. My thing is, like, how people run their campaign is probably how they're going to run the government. And so,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so when Maya Angelou,
go somewhere.
Finally, Angelou tells us, people show you who they are, believe them the first time. The first time. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think we established race, but we also saw the kind of money that came in. This is not the first time we've seen money. We saw it come in with Cori Bush, that basically, you know, washed her out of here because of the Zionist dollars. But we saw it come in with Kara Spencer as well. And so I think one of the things that we have to get back on track on is, we cannot compete with the billionaires. We just can't. We don't have those deep pockets. But what we do have is people power. And so our folks got to be more organized than what we've seen them be in these last few elections. Because, and I know people are sick and tired of the foolishness, yes. But when you let these people through, they're going to make decisions for you, your family, your community, and your future. So we just can't give them a pass. So for you, Terry, what did you see that you think is going to have a great impact on how race relations move forward in this city?
It's a scary time, Jamala. I think that overall, you're right. You know, there are going to be players who are going to kind of spearhead, let's say, certain policies that relate to North St. Louis, for instance. And they're going to be left out as they are right now. So, yeah, right now the only face you see is the new mayor, but give it till tomorrow. And you're going to start to see other people come into play who have a stake in ensuring that their agendas are met, and those of the people who need them, specifically the people who live in North St. Louis, are going to be left out.
What do you think, Tina?
I definitely think that how she or how someone moves in the beginning, you can look forward in the end. But I also think, again, go back to the culture, and it goes back to us. I don't want to take the blame off of us, or not the blame, the responsibility out of our hand, because I feel like one of the most disappointing factors in running the school board is all the forms, all the meetings, majority of those who showed up were white people. And if the St. Louis Public Schools is 75% plus African Americans, where are we showing up? So my question to us is, how can we get mad at another race owning, taking, stealing, however you want to name it, the responsibility of something that should be ours? I think it's time for us to step up to the plate. That's why I respect Ms. Coffey, because ever since I met her, she's been in the community. It's not about an excuse. It's about, how can I fix it? And we need more of those mindsets like yourself in it, rather than sitting in the back and just letting somebody else take it and then want to complain when it don't go our way. I'm against that.
Yeah.
And so, Coffey, there is enough blame to go around, because one of the things I've been saying, to your point, Tavon, is the progressive movement has allowed the right to take up space that we have. So now we in a reactive mode, a reactionary mode. We're trying to get back local control of the St. Louis Police Department. They are trying to enter a bill. In fact, this just part of what happened is that, you know, they're entering another bill that says, no, you're not going to have abortion rights. So that's being drawn back. And then we have the state saying, oh, remember that law that you all passed where you're going to get increase in minimum wage and you'll get paid sick leave? And guess what day that was supposed to happen on, y'all? It would have been a historic day. It was going to happen on May 1st that kicks in. May 1st is the International Workers' Day. That would have just been so profound if that happened. But now they say, oh, no. Y'all not going to get that. And even before then, they have not told employers that the employees are going to be eligible for this. So if they don't know, they don't know that they can get paid sick leave. So it's all these games being played. And to your point, Tavon, people got to know. They got to be, you know, got to be woke. They got to be looking. They got to be observing. They got to be participating. And I know it's blame to go around. So I got platforms. So I've been pointing fingers, and not just at the folks who would do. Trump is doing what he told us he's going to do.
Right. Absolutely.
In Project 2025, he said, here's what I'm going to do. So when we hear people saying, well, we didn't vote for that. Yeah, you did.
Absolutely.
You most certainly did. So where do you think the blame is, and where is the most blame? Because I don't believe that the people in power should take the majority of the blame, because they got all of what they need to do what they do. We don't necessarily have that.
Absolutely.
What do you think?
Well, a lot of people may not want to hear this, but I got to give it to you how I see it. Okay. As far as city government, as Jamali shared with you, I'm a member of UAPO, Universal African People Organization. We believe in proportionate political representation. What that means is whatever percentage we are in this country as citizens, then we should hold that amount of positions. That's the reason why I ran for United States Senator, okay? Came in second place under Democrat Bell and went back again and encouraged 9 other blacks to run, okay? And we believe in that. So I'm all for black people taking positions. Work my butt out for free. Never been paid on anybody's payroll to work for their campaign. Let's be clear on that. However, this mayor race was a disappointment in a whole lot of ways. And as Tavon just shared with us, we can't just blame the powers to be. We have to take some accountability. Okay. And I'm out in the streets every day. Don't miss a beat. And I know what's being said, and I see what's being done, and I know what I'm feeling. I live in St. Louis City. Let's be clear on that. Born and raised, graduated from Ashland Grade School, attended Beaumont and Northwest, graduated from Forest Park, and this goes on. But bottom line is, it was a lot of disappointments in Central Charlotte. I'm just going to call it what it is. A lot of disappointment. Okay. And people say, well, Tosher made one mistake and then we want to hold it against her. She made more than one mistake. I don't even call it a mistake. Those was conscious decisions that she made that did not help us. Okay. And we got to be real with that. And so people are feeling like they don't have a dog in the fight. So 26% of the people voted. That's it. The rest of them stayed at home. Okay. Tashara wanted that position. We put her in that position. I campaigned my butt off for her. Wrote a poem for her in the St. Louis American, put it in the paper, okay? That's how bad I wanted to see Tashara and Kim, and Corey too, for that matter. This is black girl magic. I wanted to see it happen. How? You know? But at the same time, it was a lot of decisions that I don't agree with either that Tashara made. And I think the biggest problem is whoever in the hell, whoever is advising her need to be slapped backwards in their mouth. Because somebody was not telling her right. And maybe she wasn't listening. The community leaders, we needed to get to her. And that was difficult for a lot of us to reach Tashara. I went to her office many times myself. It was very difficult. She needed to hear what the people wanted. Because when you're black and you get in a position of power, it's time to show your ass. It's time to do what you're supposed to do. Do what they expect you to do. They expect you to hook up people. They expect you to look out for poor people, for black people. Do it. Don't try to please them. Because when you're trying to please that other side, they don't care about you. And you throw your people under the bus, guess what? They waiting for the opportunity to throw you under the bus. And that's exactly what happened, I believe, Ms. Jamala.
No, I definitely think that's part of it, because one of the things that happened was that, and I'm in the community, I'm hearing what people are saying, a lot of it was personal stuff, and some of it could even be said as being petty, because when you're looking at the big picture, okay, it's kind of like folks did with Kamala Harris. Oh, I can't vote for them because, you know, Biden was for, against Palestine. Okay, look what we got now. So people are not paying attention to strategy, attention to how I feel about this person. And so one of the things I think we have to do as movement folks is to really get people to understand the big picture, the systems of oppression, which are global. I mean, even for stupid Trump, who's doing these tariffs, he doesn't know that he's messing up the global market.
Exactly.
He thinks he's hurting this, that, and the other, but the markets are falling. He's so stupid, he doesn't understand that. But, you know, that's why I said there's plenty of blame to pass around.
If I can add something.
Mm-hmm.
So also to what Ms. Wright was saying is, I feel like as an effective leader looking at a situation, let's say the mayor, Tashara Jones, came in this and she received it, how would she did it? Just looking at the stats, if you really want this city to be level and balanced, then you will focus on a lot of the resources going to Northside, because that's where it was dilapidated, that's where it was it needed the help. Why give it to Clayton when Clayton didn't need it? So it just makes sense to me as a leader. If you're really trying to be a genuine leader, then it shows you, the real estate shows you where it needs help, the streets show you, the mindset, the families, our area, our neighborhood. 30% of our children in public schools are homeless. You don't even know that, but 30% of our children are in transit, which means how can I even get a better education? So just as a leader, I will focus on where I'm deficient so that the whole city can rise. And that's what she didn't do that.
Yeah. So who's joined us, as we said we would, because I have that much faith in him, is Tef Poe. So Tef has joined us, and one of the things that we know that he did while I was out of town was drop some stuff that made him, now he's in the same league with me, a public enemy number one. So
I was already there, wasn't it?
Yeah, probably. You're hanging out with me, yeah. So here's the thing, one of the things we're trying to figure out or focus on, Tef, is what happened in the elections that you think is going to have a great impact on going forward? And I know, you know, the response that the new mayor had for you is that she felt very threatened by the words and the way that you delivered your piece. What does that say to you about a mayor going forward?
You know, I got interesting perspectives about it all. I got to know Tashara Jones a little bit more than I got to know her previously through this whole situation with the mayoral election. I was in a position where I didn't support either candidate going into it. And to be honest, everybody ducked smoke because I got a 15-minute song that's going to shut the whole city down that ever sees the light of day. But I had to reposition myself for the greater good of the city. And then I did get to know a little bit of her humanity as a person outside of her being a politician, which put me in a position where I don't speak a lot about policies as much as other people do, but in terms of who I felt was intangibly the better human being, then I just felt that I still feel she a better human being than Kara Spencer. So when we get to breaking down the situation, for me, it was more so black leadership, just being growing up black in St. Louis, seeing black people struggle for positionality in this whole thing, as we have, being a grown man this time, like straight up grown for real, and this is going down. Where do I insert myself? And to the service of what, right? And for me, I already kind of knew it was a crash out mission because I talk to a lot of the little dudes in the streets and different people from all the, you know me, I talk to people of all the age brackets. You know what I'm saying? I ain't just talking to the young. I ain't just talking to the old. I'm talking to everybody, right? And I had already perceived from a lot of the so-called YNs and a lot of the younger millennials that they weren't as electrified about this election as previous times. And it's a lot of stuff that everybody discussing, blah, 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 right? It's the political science of it all. But for me, it is also the, what we have to do now is look at what's really happening in real time for these last two elections back to back, especially for people from Black St. Louis. And we can do a lot of the critical finger pointing, because we do it every time there's a big loss. But also, as a black society, for me, we need to understand accurately where we are with talking to specific people, because a lot of the prophecies of the Black Power movement have been made true through this current iteration of people. Tupac said, they kill me. You don't want to see what's going to happen, because the generation after me is going to see that they were so heartless that they took me out. So what is the point of caring? And we now live a lot of those Stokely prophecies, a lot of those Tupac prophecies, a lot of those H-Rap, Asada prophecies, things that people think that they were just saying to be waxing poetic, to actually where we are on the field now. So a lot of times we're using the analysis of somebody who was already in front of the media, somebody who was already in front of the asteroid. All hell is already broke loose. So we in the position now where we got to strategize from the position of these kids walking around with sticks, switches, right? The access to violence, the access to being emotionally misunderstood. A voting booth ain't going to necessarily feel that angst in somebody no more. And we don't have, due to the popularity, I was talking to somebody about this morning, and people say I sound hopeless. I ain't hopeless. I'm just knowing what I got to do to stay alive. And due to the popularity of some of the things in black society that we don't need, right? Because we don't need all of it, but we'll stand it up culturally as if we all need all of it. So at the same time, we got a mayor race going on. We got other mass issues in Black St. Louis going on in entertainment that's drawing mass amounts of people to things. There's so much other focus going on. And then we want to scream fire when the black lady don't win. Did we scream fire when we was bringing 800 people to a building for 314 a day? Yo, y'all here. This is the outhouse party while Master ain't looking. Or maybe Master is looking. But this is the agenda we need to be trying to at least spark your mind with. And that's all I be saying to people. It's not that I think I'm self-righteous or better than anybody. It's just that I come from a real Black St. Louis tradition. And the real Black St. Louis tradition is one where we internally as black folk know, hey, yeah, we having a family reunion, we having a barbecue, but while we here, let me find out who mama voting for.
Right, right.
Let me find out, hey, talk to my little cousin, and hey, you know, you got a case. The judge is on the ballot that was looking over your case. Let's talk about that. A lot of times I'm talking about real power plays. You feel what I'm saying? I'm cool with people meeting to dance up and shucking jive and stuff. I'm in entertainment. That's part of my job to give people a reason to do it. But I've always been a person that wanted to make the power plays. You know what I'm saying? And this election, me inserting myself, is just about that. Just trying to make a power play for Black St. Louis.
Yeah, that's an interesting point, because I think even the way that you introduced, you said where I would insert myself, and for what purposes, for whom. And I think that should really be governing all our actions, because some of the things that people are doing, they realize too late that they've been used as a pawn. And now the community is looking at them like, what? I mean, you know, even folks like Snoop Dogg. I mean, you know, folks like, whoa, 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 wait a minute. Now, we know it's entertainment. What you going up there for? So he's catching the heat.
But that's where we at now, Mama Jamala, to be honest. Y'all had a better analysis around capitalism, a more of an anxiety against it, more of a feverish desire to uproot it from the society, and then also a desire to educate yourself around the mechanisms of these things and the oppression and this and that and that and that and that. Yeah. We are functioning in a world now where a lot of people are neoliberals and don't know it. So they don't have no desire to analyze the society from a radical standpoint because they just are solely capable of embracing the liberal stance. And the liberal stance says, yeah, the murder rate is high. Yeah, black men lead the murder rate on both sides of the gun, civilian and law enforcement. But there's no crisis so long as I could still go to work. There's no crisis so long as I could still afford my car insurance. For me, I've been living in a state of static shock all my life because I wake up every day and I wonder, why do people not understand that we are in a drastic case of red alert? And at point now where I've given as much energy as I could to black liberation in all real, in a real way. You know what I'm saying? Like, since I was a young man, I'm becoming an old man. You know what I'm saying?
You're not old, but I get you.
Like, I'm becoming an older man.
Okay,
The reason I don't have no anxiety about saying that now, because even in this current iteration of this society, we got to look at it for what it is. You 35, you 36, right? What are your real obligations to the people? Yeah. What are your real obligations to community? Are you just building a regular nuclear family? You're going to get you a wife. You're going to get you a husband. You're going to have some kids. Y'all going to get a crib in North County and call it a day. Like, what is the radical intent behind your existence? And I think a lot of times what I'm discovering is we are allowing black men specifically that are supposed to be taking some agency as the vanguard to skate by as if they're young still because, oh, you ain't 55 yet. No, no, I'm an older man, and I'm standing on that. I'm proud of that. I survived the carnage. I'm here. I'm in the building. I'm able to sit with my people of various capacities and talk my talk because I've done the work to be a part of the community on that level and to be redeemed on that level. A lot of people just want work for free kills. I feel the same way about it as I feel about European patriarchy in general. We giving these people free bodies. We assuming they killers and they ain't really killed nothing yet. We still in here fighting. We still resisting, and we let this boogeyman narrative that the white man can't be beat just permeate everything.
Yeah.
And that's where we living in.
I remember this is years ago when you said, you know, we need to stop calling it a war because the casualties are on one side. And we, I remember that. I listen to young people too when they talk to me. So I'm like, damn, that's true. And actually, it's been more destruction. And we are.
That's how I feel.
Yeah. I mean, for real, what this man is doing on a national level is increasing the carnage. So, for us, sometimes we get stuck in the analysis, and I think that's important for us to do. So I don't think finger pointing is all bad because we have to say, okay, what happened and why and who made it happen so that when we come back around, we can be more intelligent about who to target and what to target. But there is a point where people kind of get stuck there.
Can I ask you something? How did y'all in the past, I was watching an interview with Muhammad Ali and Bootsy, what's the boy that from Ohio, Bootsy Collins?
Yeah.
So Muhammad Ali was talking about some serious stuff, right? They like, blah, 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 blah. And he looked at him and dude was up there just shucking and jiving, you know what I'm saying? And he got there, sung his little songs and woo, woo, woo. It's the same stuff we deal with nowadays, right? It might be insert rap artist A for, it'll be Lil Boosie instead of, you know what I'm saying, Boosie. So, in my opinion, as a person that hopes to go in the grave as a potential black revolutionary, I perceive this culture of black folk to not care. Like, and there's a not caring that we've always dealt with, a dissonance that we always have dealt with, but now it's on such a level that
it's on steroids.
I'm wasting my time even talking to certain people.
So let me just say this, because I think that's the kind of disillusionment that we see and feel, which makes it difficult for us to move our people into power because they don't think they have any. And also they think everything is hopeless. The white folks got it all. We can't do nothing. We can always do something. And to your point, we should do it until we don't have breath to do it. But I think, and I just want everybody to respond to this. What do we see in black folks right now that prevents them from wanting to be a part of their own destiny. See, we see the white people like that voted for Trump, and now they see that, okay, he's cutting this, cutting that, that impacts them, so they didn't even vote for their own interests. But black folks are sitting back and letting folks move forward, not going to meet their own best interests. And so I know this is something that we all think about, like, how do you move our people? Coffee, you seem like you're ready to go.
I'm ready to go. Everybody's been calling it what it is around the table, honestly, y'all, and I appreciate, you know, you all's opinion. Teb just said, you know, we feeling like we don't have a dog in a race. We got to know that we have a reason to fight. We got to know that the hope is real. We got to know that changes can be made, and that has to be shown to us. So when we put a brother or sister in office, we expect you to make it happen, Captain. You got to do it. You know, as simple as that. The ARPA funds, for instance, I applied for the ARPA funds. It was only 220 of us, 226, and I was number 221. Okay. Mm-hmm. I waited till after the elections and all that was over with so I could qualify. Because you can't qualify if you're an election official or city worker, right? So I got my app in. They said, oh, we don't have enough people in St. Louis. Why these people don't want it? Oh, these people want it. They don't know about it. Because you had the meetings on a Wednesday at 5 o'clock and people can't come to Saturday at noon. Because when you get off work, you got to come home, fix your kids' dinner, wash clothes, do the laundry, and start all over again, right? Mm-hmm. So they purposely had all these meetings that left us out. So we're not being informed. As Trevon said, people not showing up at the meetings. That's our fault when we don't show up. But a lot of times we don't even know where we need to be and when we need to be there. Mm-hmm. But bottom line is, with the ARPA funds, myself, Gwen, and some other people I know, we got together. We started running our mouth. We started going to people. We didn't worry about this going to be made less than our chance of getting paid. We start telling everybody, any type of business you have, you've been doing it, or if you want a business, that's what they told us, sign up. So we was getting people. I was having meetings at my house, Mama Jamala, and people bringing people that I ain't even know, right? And so I'm got to keep my head on swivel and all that, right? So anyway, you know, we didn't got the numbers up to 700 and something. About 760 people applied, okay? That was hope. I grew up in North St. Louis, as I stated. We never seen that money come there, ever, ever.
Yeah.
I worked for Operation Brightside under Vince Shamo, cleaning up grass like a Hebrew slave, right? Okay, but we did that. Black people, they say lazy niggas. I ain't never seen a lazy nigga. We work our butt off, right? Just so we could have nice clothes for when school started, right? Buy cars and all that. So what happened was we got to 760 people, and then they want to start getting into the politics. Who we going to give it to, who we not? Some people applying for 1.5 million. Some people applying for 30,000. People applying for what they need. So then here we pitting against each other. It's a grant. When your name wasn't picked, when your business wasn't selected, you don't get every grant you apply for. But how do we make it fair for everybody? What I would have liked to seen happen, although I was one of the ones that needed a couple of $100,000 because my building is waggly. They had it all over television. Look at this raggedy building. Media calling me, she want money for this building and it looked like crap. That's the reason why I want money for the building.
Right.
One bathroom the size of a closet. Can we have two? You know? So bottom line was, I tried to get a meeting again. What my plan was, since we got 760 some people applying, we ain't hollering about Sweetie Pie. She had four places and then they all closed down. Why are you giving her $1.5 million?
I don't know why she got any money.
Okay, wait a minute. Farrakhan, she got. He trying to get money. All he got is a vacant lot. He want money for a vacant. They didn't know the brother trying to build on the lot. Okay, people not even checking into it. They ain't doing their homework. They ain't checking into it. They just running their mouth, going by what the media say. Because if it's white, it's white. They ice water got to be colder. 32 degrees, right?
All day long.
So what happened was, what I would like to have seen was, divide the money equally between everybody that applied. Mm-hmm. If everybody get $100,000, $100,000 your mama didn't give you, right? It's $100,000 that you didn't get. We can't say because you used to dealing with big money, Tip, then give the big money to him because he's a big money dog. And Terry, you only used to dealing with a little bit, so them cookies you making ain't going to sell. We can't pick and choose what's going to happen, right, fam? So give everybody a fair shot. Nobody would have been complaining. Wouldn't have been no protest if you just put everybody in one room and Tosharva say, everybody that think we should split it equally, step on the right side. The other people step on the left. You're going to be feeling pretty stupid stepping on the left saying, no, I should get the most, right? If we did that, people would have had faith, businesses, families, people talking. Them households would have said, she hooked us up. Sister showed up and showed out. They would have had their families there, I believe, to vote for her. They would have, the business would have been supported. But you can't, I know you can't please everybody, but we got to know the people are important. Marion Barron in D.C., crackhead. But that man did some powerful stuff. D.C. loved him. After he got convicted, after he came to St. Louis to go to rehab, because he know we got some good rehabs here, and we got a lot of crackheads, so they been changed around. After he left prison, Mama Jamala, he got reelected.
I know.
Right. Because why? Because he did things for the people. He would have taken the workhouse and made it the new homeless shelter, like we wanted. Mm. Okay, so there's a lot of things that we have to show up for the people, because that's who put us in there. Right. And if you want them to keep you in there, don't worry about the politicians. Don't worry about what the media is saying. You show up for the people and give them the middle finger.
Well, I know that the ARPA money was one of the things that keeps coming up. The ARPA money and the RAM settlement. Because this is the first time St. Louis has got that kind of money. So that got folks' attention who want money. And so a lot of us didn't even know about the RAM settlement because we just totally out of it. But the white folks who have power were looking at that to say, this is not the time for us to be doing equitable sharing. This is money that we need to invest in places that have shown us that they're worthy of investment and reinvestment. It's the team four plan all over again. Mm-hmm. So North St. Louis is going to continue. And this is with the complicity of some of the black elected officials. It's going to continue to look like it's been a bombed out, you know, Beirut, with no resources coming in, no development. I know there's been no development in the old 22nd Ward, except for what Friendly Temple has done. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So all the money that goes to the individual, wards, where is that going? And that came up again when people were complaining about the streets. And I had Mayor Tashar Jones on the show, and she said people don't know that there is a pot of money that each older person has that they could fix the streets.
Right.
So you hollering at the mayor, holler at your older person who is helping to like hoard that money for their friends and family. So
why she should have told us, Mama Jamala, Tashara should have told us what was going on. Point the finger and say, hey, $800,000 is going in each ward, and these aldermen need to be doing what need to be done. You know, point the finger at them, and then we will have respect. But people don't know.
People don't know. So Terry, looks like you want to jump in here.
I have to, because I don't mean to sound empathetic, but I'm being empathetic. And when you talk about North St. Louis, granted I live south, but when you talk about North St. Louis and, you know, yeah, it's a war zone filled with poverty, high crime rates. These are harms that are on these people. And I can't sit here and blame anybody up there that didn't get off their couch or off the front porch and go vote, because harms have been laid on these people for so long that what's the use? That's the attitude. So it's up to us as organizers to change that attitude, get with the people, and try to make it better.
Right. And many of us have done that. Many of us do it. But then again, when Tashara got to be out engaging with the people, whoever, whatever elected official, all the people, they have to engage with the people. Darlene Green, I love me some Darlene Green. I will bust some kneecaps over Darlene, okay? But it was ridiculous that half the people never even heard of her. She's been in office 30 years. But who is Darlene Green? Seldom seen Darlene Green. But Darlene Green was putting it down.
She was doing it right. That's why they never heard of her.
What's she have? A AAA credit rating for the city of St. Louis? Who does that? Right. And she lost to somebody who has no experience as an accountant whatsoever, but people haven't heard of her.
But that's why I was trying to tell people it's not about performance. It can't be. That's Because now is the time to make it all white. Because this woman has worked for 30 years for the service of the people, and she's
right.
Had the same acts that Tashara.
Because they put us all together.
Yeah.
I'm going to be honest, Mama Jay. I think where we went wrong was same place we went wrong with Trump. And a lot of the reason my messaging was more resounding is a lot of people's stuff that they were saying, well, I'm putting out stuff, 20,000 people getting a hold of it real quick, because I'm telling people this is red alert. I'm not BSing you about what's going down. I'm telling you that it's a white girl cabal. I'm under attack right now for telling folks what it really is. I'm not telling people halfway what's happening. This is a white girl cabal. This ain't had nothing to do with voter disengagement and all of that. No, it got something to do with veil profit society and the adjacent capitalist white bodies in St. Louis, Missouri, that have been trying to dominate this state since slavery. And they look for willing participants who are going to step up and sit in the chair to screw black people over at mass. And what happened in this situation here, you had white liberals, white Democrats, anti-Trump white Democrats voting the same way as MAGA Trump, diehard Trumpians, just to screw over a black woman.
Well, you can't say
it
any better. Go ahead. See,
Yvonne. My view is kind of a different view because I was raised in a country predominantly white folks, specifically Jews. I was raised in Israel. And I left America when the community was still community. When you get in trouble in school, by the time you get home, the whole community and got you, and then your parents get you. So I left at a good time. I moved to Israel. Israel is considered one big family. Everybody go to the army. It's a military country. I never felt threatened. And just everybody.
I've been to Israel and got detained.
Oh, see, that's a different
thing. So I don't live with the same. That's actually one of the worst countries I've ever been to. So you're using that as an example, bro. I got to go.
So hold on. But for your experience, yes, you.
They locked me up with an American passport.
So again, your experience, My experience is not yours. I lived in a community.
I ride or die in the black car.
I got
wherever
you.
We could be going to hell and back. I'm riding that black car. I'm banging on that black car. I win or lose.
Well, I get you. I get you, Sam. And I actually served at my restaurant before, so I know who you are. I know what you stand for. But when I moved there, it was my choice. I was young. I moved there. My father was with Navy. I moved to Israel. But we moved to a community of all African-American. We set up our own community, economics. We were all vegan, all ran by us. We left America in the 60s, moved to Israel, and we established a holistic way of life inside of Israel, but it was ran and managed by us, African-Americans. I feel you when you're saying what you're saying. However, when I came back to America, my view on Caucasians wasn't like the view here. I actually got culture shock when I came back here because when I had my son, I invited my neighbor to celebrate and he looked at me like, are you the police? And I thought, man, you look like me. And I'm only inviting you to the backyard barbecue and I'm the police. So I had to change my view on it. Now, what changed my whole view to where I'm going to make it known where I stand in this race. I'm for African-American people. I'm for us, my children, specifically the men, because we've fallen short in it, is when I ran for the school board. When I ran for the school board, what I noticed is that if education starts at home, go back to the team floor plan, and you go back to where he said, A.J. Hoover said, stop the rise of the black messiah, you can put the dots together to see where it's a long-term plan they had in mind to do this to where if 60% of the households are ran by single parents. And we all know the facts and stats of what happened when the man is out of the house. That's why you have most of the men are young men, 11 to 25 other shooters being shot, are robbing and killing and dropping out of school. So my thing is, after seeing that and after seeing that education starts at home and we can't even get a founded home base because the element of the foundation is gone, my focus now going forward is how can I empower us as a family to be more solid? You know, I know what they know. They know what they've done. But how can we give our children, our daughters, teaching the basics? That's why I'm so in for the union, because even if I would have been on the board, I would have transformed some of them vacant homes to workshops, teach them plumbing, electrical, things that I know can lead to high paying money. Like right now, the children, the sons, moving through the community, they trying to get money. So how can I
move
their focus onto a skill that they can take anywhere in the world,
Absolutely.
And we as a people, are we losing at the family because, you know, let's get the man back in the family.
Let me ask you something. So in St. Louis, for example, reason I brought up those examples I brought up, right? I'm bringing a very specific not white people bashing institutions, but just historical institutions that are predominantly pro-white and rooted in the history of our city. Right? So I was raised by a great family, two family household. We went to private school. We lived in the hood, but my mama made it work. My pops made it work, whatever. Right. I still have a history of what's going on around. So I know that East St. Louis riots ain't just East St. Louis riots. I know that that building down there on Euclid, the big penthouse on in the Central West End.
Yeah, I'm on Euclid.
That people just think is a huge penthouse. I know the top Democratic donors in the state live at the top of that penthouse. Mm-hmm. And it's money of beyond money, because we're talking money. Mm-hmm. It is money beyond money in that building. And these are the people that meet in secrecy and say, we got to stop Tashara Jones. We got to cut off Jamala Rogers' radio show. We got to stop these black
folks. You had to go there, dude.
We got to.
look, when I ran for the school board.
So that's what's happening here. You feel what I'm saying?
I got you.
They are organizing against us at a rate where we having the wrong conversation. Because I'm with all the ethical stuff.
But we're doing it too.
We're doing it too
to ourselves. I was invited to a private party, and they asked me to do something to break my integrity so that they can either move me to the vacancy that was already on the board or get elected with all this money. I'm not for that. I'd rather have my integrity intact. Yeah. When I move to the community, this is why I feel like Ms. Coffee Wright and others can call me, because they know I'm about integrity. I ain't going to break my word.
For sure.
So, but we do it to ourselves. So I'm all for us. Mm-hmm. When the Caucasian builds a statue for what they believe in, I'm not going to get mad at you.
No, let's come together. My question
I'm not saying you get mad. I'm just sharing my thought. So I'm saying is, it's time for us to unite, like at this table, mm-hmm. share our resources, share our wisdom, share our intellect. We already intelligent. They already saying that our DNA, our melanin is what actually mm-hmm. powers their computers now. It's sure. a fact. So why can't we just humble out on ourselves, listen to Ms. Coffee Wright, mm-hmm. listen to you, listen to at this table, mm-hmm. take what we need to take it, build, because I remember she said in the beginning, we don't have any money, which is correct. Mm-hmm. However, on Black Friday, who goes on the list?
We're the biggest consumers.
We're the biggest. So why can't we take some of our money and invest it in our own community? I offered to the community one day, I said, since Paul McKee buying up all the land, let's do this. Let's everybody contribute X and Y Z money, live in the neighborhood, buy the neighborhood, and it's yours.
You weren't here, brother. Like I you guess. Said, you was in Israel. Paul McKee didn't buy up all the land. Paul McKee was giving all the land. Giving the land and then giving millions of dollars, 75% of our tax dollars, what we paid for real estate taxes, didn't renovate, and then the city bought it back from them. See, that's the game they play.
That's the big game.
Right.
I guess that's what I'm trying to ask this esteemed table of black scholars and knowledgeable folks, right? Like, if you don't know that the Corazon building is the name of the Veiled Prophet's actual, like, the building.
Tap. I ran against the Veiled Prophet queen.
You don't know this.
The queen, okay? Did you know I ran against the queen?
How can you fight? My mama used to educate me on this stuff. Like, hey, that's this. The general black experience in St. Louis used to be one where they told you where the potholes was. They told you who was this. They told you what was going on for real with the They told you for real what was going on with the parade downtown, why we don't feel comfortable there. Like, we were educating the family about what was happening, so we wasn't going into the fight blindsided. And it made somebody like a Freeman Bosley possible, because we spent the 90s actually telling the kids, this is what this is. This is what this is. This is what this is. So by the time I do become a voting age, hell, I understand the importance of getting Bosley in there. You know what I'm saying? Nowadays, I can't say the same. You had even actual Bosley relatives coming out for Kara Spencer. So it's the education just ain't there.
I saw the pictures, Seb, and I mean, I'm looking through Facebook. I'm looking at pictures. I'm like, wow, you too? You too?
let me just say this, Tayvon, because in the few minutes that we have left, and this is a dynamic conversation that we probably need to replicate in other places so that people understand what the next steps are. But to add on to the point that you're making, Tef, what do we need to do now, in your opinion, that will put black folks on the right track? And I know it's no one thing, but what do you think is the priority in terms of where do we need to go, given what's going on nationally in the state and now what's going to be happening on the local level? How do we need to organize differently? I'm going to start with you, Terry.
Oh, thank you.
It starts with political education, Jamal. Yep. We need to get out here and we need to politicize the masses and help them understand that it's now or never. Because if we don't, before too long, don't be surprised when you see the bulldozers running down West Florissant to Walnut Park.
Okay.
About the train track again right now. I would just say that I love what Tef Poe said, and education is key, and I love what he said about it's about the money. I think we need to educate ourselves on economics and learn how to manage the money home and in the community. Because if it's about money and who has the money, we have a lot of money. We just don't know how to organize it and put it to work.
What about you? What do we need to do, Paul?
Okay, I think, you know, they're trying to take our voting rights away. Yeah, we got to be clear on that. That's what they get into. They don't want us to have any elected officials that represent us. So I think it's all of our responsibility, all the viewers, everybody that's listening, it's your responsibility to make sure the people in your cell phone, the people in your house, the people on your block know what's happened. Point it out to them. This should be the conversations over dinner, not talking about social media, not talking about Real Housewives or any of that. We need to be talking about how the things that are happening in this country from the president on down are affecting our lives and how it's going to affect our lives, because our ancestors freed us and we are free people and we're not going back to 1857. So take on the responsibility, fam.
What about you, Tiff? Last word.
I mean, really, everybody's saying it. That's the key for me, is listening to everybody in that position of expertise and letting them cook from where they cook. I think in St. Louis right now, we have had this thing where it's like, all right, if your way of doing it ain't my way of doing it, then we get to stand ourselves up in opposition to the work that you're doing and how you're doing it.
How's that working?
And it's just not getting us nowhere. And also, the people who do that the most are the people who always find a magical way to flip-flop, right? So I'm not in opposition to nothing that nobody is doing that's black. If they doing work that's not harming nobody, even white folks is out here that's doing work that's not harming nobody. Anybody in any community that's doing work that's not harming nobody, and you're trying to make the situation better, I'm going to find a way to support you and amplify. But also, I think now we are at a point where we do have to start drawing the line in the sand around some non-negotiables. And we got to look in the mirror and actually determine. This is what I hate about the liberal mindset of mine, because it'll let you tell. You can look at a couch and convince yourself that it's a hippopotamus. Right. So we in a situation now where a lot of people have this liberal way of approaching the society, right? So I say I'm not a Democrat or a Republican. You know what I'm saying? I'm with the N-word car. I'm with the N-word party. You know what I'm saying? So with that being said, I'm going to close it. I know I'm talking. But looking out of this election, I am really emotional about it, because I feel like the conversation that we're having as a body of people is not actually what happened to us. And if we're not diagnosing the sickness correctly, then we can't cure it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
That's real. And I think that's a good note to end on, because there's lots of things that are going to be happening to us that ain't going to be for us. And so it is. These are troubled times. It ain't no lie. And I'm sorry I don't have time for announcements, but you know, you can go to KamalaRogers.com, because this was just too good to stop. We're gonna make it.
You got a classic on your ass,
yeah,
huh?
No, this is classic. So, I gotta end with this, y'all, not my regular song, because I think a lot of people are feeling this.
And why should we vote at their elections when there is no place for we, you and me, in a secret society that all of us are gonna come? Why should we trust in politicians?